Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Tuesday, August 26th. Coming up, after 25 years covering city council meetings, storms, and state fairs, Jim Meadows is about to retire from reporting here on Illinois Public Media. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. With U of I classes back in session, the Champaign-Urbana Mass Transit District has returned to full bus service. The MTD says most bus stops will have a bus coming by every 10, 20, or 30 minutes. Meanwhile, there have been some route and schedule changes since last spring. Most notably, buses on the yellow and red routes will no longer enter the Marketplace Mall property area. Passengers heading there will now need to get off at a stop along Neal Street or Market Street and walk to the mall. The MTD says because of this change, it is increasing service on the red to include the Ashland Park subdivision and the Meijer and Walmart stores in Champaign, and the Myra Ridge subdivision and the Meijer store in Urbana. Updated bus schedules are available on board most MTD buses. Head Start centers in East Central Illinois celebrated their 60th anniversary this past weekend. The federally funded Early Childhood Health and Education Program was launched in 1965. IPM's Emily Hayes has more on how the American Civil Liberties Union is trying to protect its future.
The ACLU is fighting the Trump administration in court on its efforts to bar students from Head Start based on their immigration status. Ed Yonka with the ACLU of Illinois says the administration is calling the preschool program a form of welfare to fit a 1990s law that excludes certain immigrants from social services.
I'm thinking that Newt Gingrich and the Republicans of the 1990s, if that's what they'd meant, they would have said it. And I think you would have heard it again, but apparently Donald Trump and RFK Jr. are the people who've suddenly discovered this.
The administration says the change would help protect the country's resources. The rule is on hold until early September due to another lawsuit. Yonka says a ruling on the ACLU case could come after Labor Day. I'm Emily Hayes with IPM News.
Mayor Brandon Johnson has a message for President Trump and the National Guard. Stay out of Chicago. Mawa Iqbal has more.
A military occupation. That's what Mayor Johnson is calling Trump's threats to deploy the National Guard to combat undocumented immigration and crime. But according to city data, shootings are down about 40% and homicides 30% compared with last year. Johnson says Trump's threat is merely political showmanship.
Instead of spending hundreds of millions of dollars for a publicity stunt to invoke chaos and terror, the federal government should spend that money on proven solutions to crime and violence reduction.
Johnson was flanked by Governor J.B. Pritzker, the state's two U.S. senators, and city business leaders downtown. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
A Central Illinois man will be detained awaiting trial for allegedly killing his unborn child. 31-year-old Emerson Evans of Normal appeared in court yesterday in McLean County, accused of inserting four abortion pills into his girlfriend's body without her consent. Michael Gizzi, a criminal justice professor at Illinois State University, says the offense carries a minimum sentence of 20 years in prison.
It's a very significant charge. This is not a manslaughter case. This is not a minor charge. This is the equivalent of the penalty for intentional homicide of an unborn child is the same as for first-degree murder.
Gizzi says the law does not apply to abortion. Evans claims the mother consented to an abortion, telling police he, quote, helped make the decision for her. Still to come, after 25 years covering city council meetings, storms, and state fairs, Jim Meadows is about to retire from reporting here on Illinois Public Media. That story's coming up next on 217 Today, but first, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your forecast.
I'm meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your IPM News forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Today, look for mostly sunny skies with a high of 75 degrees and a northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, clear skies with a low of 48 degrees and a north wind 5 miles per hour. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high of 77 degrees, a southwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low of 56 degrees, a southwest wind 5 miles per hour. And for Thursday, mostly sunny with a high of 80 degrees and a west wind 5 to 10 miles per hour.
Next time on The 21st Show, the Trump administration is considering whether to deploy soldiers to Chicago. We'll talk about that with retired Illinois National Guard General Bill Enyart. plus Kathy Davis's memoir about her career as a flight attendant from the golden age of air travel to after 9/11. I'm Brian Mackey. That's next time on The 21st Show. Join us.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. Jim Meadows has traversed central Illinois for WILL Radio since 2000, covering county commissions, storm cleanup, and local history. And from time to time, he's served as the local host of NPR's Morning Edition, All Things Considered, and our talk show Focus 580, which went off the air in 2014. This Friday, Jim is set to retire after a long journalism career here and in Peoria. So our station wanted to take time this week to celebrate Jim's reporting. Today, we take you back to a story he reported in 2022 when WILL AM 580 marked 100 years on the air.
If you had a really old radio, the kind that used more than one knob to tune in a station, it might make this noise.
When you were tuning and trying to go from one station to another, you heard what sounded like occult noises from deep space, from the ether.
From the ether, meaning the upper reaches of the sky. Media historian Susan Douglas with the University of Michigan says that for many Americans in WILL AM's first year of broadcasting, 1922, the sound of a radio being tuned evoked a kind of romantic potential, the potential that you might hear anything from anywhere.
And back then it was miraculous. It was a miracle to people that you could put some headphones on and you could hear voices and music from 50 miles away, 100 miles away.
There were only a couple of million radios in the U.S. in 1922, and many areas still had no stations of their own. There were no radio networks yet, and radio advertising was still a new and controversial idea. It was in this setting that the University of Illinois received a license to operate a radio station specifically for broadcasting to a mass audience. The station's first home was the U of I's Electrical Engineering Lab, and it was overseen for many years by the campus publicity department. Joseph Wright was the U of I's publicity director and WILL's first director of broadcasting from the mid-1920s through the 40s. He once spoke with WYLL about his memories of the station's first transmitter and first set of call letters.
Hugh Brown, professor of electrical engineering, had built a small transmitter of 100 watts or so for an experimental project, and that was the only thing the university had in the real early days. He dubbed it WRM. Most of us called it the worm, and he said, no, that means we reach millions.
Maybe not millions, but WRM did receive its share of mail from DXers, listeners searching their radio dials for distant stations and then writing in to let them know. No recordings exist of the early broadcasts that those DXers heard on WRM, but Susan Douglas says the programming on most university stations and radio's earliest days were something of a jumble.
You might have a lecture on home economics, followed by somebody singing, followed by weather reports, followed by crop reports. It was, you know, you didn't know what you were getting.
And they were terrible at it until the 1930s.
That's Josh Shepard, a media studies professor at the University of Colorado at Boulder. He says radio was so new in the 1920s and so new to university faculty and staff that things like regular program schedules and effective microphone technique only came gradually. But Shepard says from the 1930s onward, the staff at WRM, now WILL, would become a leader in the field of educational broadcasting. Calling itself the University of the Air, WILL produced programs that ranged from classical music to farm broadcasts to ball games. Recordings of some of those broadcasts still survive.
American Light Opera. The milestones of American light opera from the days of Reginald de Koven to now. Today, we continue the life of Victor Herbert.
Near and far, there you are, curving in the net of Tivoli Witch Irene. Oh,
good afternoon, homemakers. This is your quarter hour, presented Monday through Friday by the Home Economics Department of the University of Illinois. This is food preservation time on your quarter hour, and Miss Rowene France of our food research.
He's off, pass over to Evers. Evers out to Haypack. 1 second left to play. The ball is way up in the air. Haypack threw it high in the air so no one could shoot that ball. And Illinois wins by a 35-33 count.
You heard clips from American Light Opera, recorded at the WILL studios in 1948 or 49, then an episode of the Homemakers Quarter Hour with Jesse Heathman, and Jim Ebel calling the end of a close Illinois-Northwestern basketball game from 1940. Josh Shepard says WILL, along with key U of I communications faculty such as Wilbur Schramm and Dallas Smythe, did important work in developing educational broadcasting both at the local and national level.
And they really, really cared about this work. There was almost no incentive. There was almost no money for it. But the practitioners that coalesced around Urbana-Champaign really had this vision that media could serve public amelioration of access to democracy, education, equity, all these kinds of things.
In this past hour, we have given you a bird's eye view of five decades.
In 1972, WILL looked back in a special 50th anniversary broadcast. By then, we were on TV, broadcasting new programs like Sesame Street. And on WILL-FM, which had begun airing a new daily news program called All Things Considered. As WILL marks its 100th anniversary, we're looking back at the station's history again. And for the future, we'll see what comes out of the ether.
But now, though this program comes to a close, we do not sign off. We look forward to another 50 years of broadcasting with these Sounds of Sign-On.
I'm Jim Meadows, Illinois Public Media.
You've been listening to one of the many award-winning stories produced by Jim Meadows. Our public media colleague is retiring at the end of the week. You can join us for Morning Edition on Friday morning as Jim reflects on his long career at the station. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Stephanie Oriana. Reporting today contributed by Arjun Tucker, Emily Hayes, Mawa Iqbal, Eric Stock, and Reginald Hardwick. Music by the Kilbourn Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.